Our study this morning comes from John chapter 4, and notice verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Well, notice verse 4 now. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. So, as we note, the Pharisees were not happy with John the Immerser's preaching, and how many of the Jews were being baptized. They didn't like that. They were even more upset with the work of Jesus. And thus Jesus departed from Judea to return to Galilee. And most Jews would go around Samaria, which was in between Judea and Galilee, but Jesus was no respecter of persons. Yes, and he, being tired and thirsty, went to rest at Jacob's well and spoke to the Samaritan woman who had come to draw water. And we'll want to study John chapter 4, several sermons to cover this, as we can learn the concerns of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And by studying these concerns, we can better understand God the Son and our responsibilities as His followers. And we'll want to begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and Father Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we keep mentioning, remember, PFE. Those initials will remind us what we need to be doing every day, keeping that focus on heaven. That should be our goal, should it not? Well, of course. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville, as, yes, sir, we study God's precious word in our Bible classes. And then as we come together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit and in truth. That is John 4:24, as we hope to study later. But that means having a proper attitude, but also following the New Testament pattern, that is truth, that God gave us. Now, we want to be sure that you understand, if you come as a visitor, you are going to receive a very warm welcome. That is without question. Now, something else we want to mention. If you are interested in studying God's Word together, we look forward to those opportunities. We'll be glad to set that up at your convenience. We also offer Bible correspondence courses. Of course, they're free. Dealing with an introduction to the Bible, to the church, and the plan of salvation, things like this. And if you have Bible questions or comments, feel free to send those in. Again, the address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. And our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. One other thing, we want to wish everyone, of course, an enjoyable and a safe holiday season. Be careful out there. Some folks do not pay attention to what they're doing. So we want everybody to be safe. Now let's get back to our study concerning, John chapter 4. And we'll pick up now, as we want to notice, in verse 7 here, you'll see there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And you can see Jesus is thirsty. He asked her, "Give me to drink." Well, we need to, I guess, clarify, who were the Samaritans? Well, they were a race of people who came about after the northern kingdom was taken into Assyrian captivity. Intermarriages took place between apostate Jews left there and there in central Canaan, and pagans, of course, moving into the area. Thus they had intermarriages. Now in 536, and that approximate date, B.C., when the Jews were allowed to return from Babylonian captivity to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, Samaria offered aid, but it was refused, and of course that caused hard feelings. Now, something we need to note, the Samaritans recognized only the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, as we refer to as the books of law, as Moses gave the law that he received from God to the people. Now, they worshipped at Mount Gerizim and recognized Jacob as their father through Joseph and his sons Manasseh and Ephraim. So now, as we want to understand, what are the concerns of Christ that are standing out here in John chapter 4? So we go back to verse 7 here in John chapter 4 and pick up with this verse. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away and unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Well, that was true. "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." Notice verse 14. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." So, we understand that Jesus is concerned about knowledge. Well, he was concerned about this Samaritan woman's lack of knowledge, of course, as to who he was and is, better to say, as she's thinking in physical terms. Now, Jesus took the time to teach her, did he not? Well, notice, dropping down to verses 25 and 26, "The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." So he took the time to teach her, did he not? Now, again, the Jews did not want to fellowship with the Samaritans. But Jesus, being God in the flesh, had concern for all people and still does. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? God is no respecter of persons. As you study Acts 10:34 and 35, Peter realized that when he went to the household of Cornelius, the centurion, in Romans 2, verse 11 as well. So Jesus was concerned about the Samaritan woman's lack of knowledge as to his teaching. As we noted from verses 10 through 14, Jesus mentioned to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. But again, she's thinking of physical terms. And Jesus is speaking in spiritual terms. You see, we need to know what was Jesus referring to when he said that he would have given the Samaritan woman living water. He's referring to his teaching, the teachings of Christ, as we refer to it as the gospel, which when consumed, as we take it in and submit ourselves to the will of God and the gospel of Christ, that is a daily life of following Christ and denying ourselves and taking up our cross, you see, what's that going to result in? Eternal life. That's right. So the gift of God is not God himself here, but it's something God is giving. And as we submit to the living water, the teachings of Christ, what do we receive? The grace of God has provided us eternal life through Jesus Christ as long as we remain faithful even unto death, and we will receive the crown of victory, Revelation 2 and verse 10. Now, in John chapter 6, jumping ahead to several chapters here, notice verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's right. The word of Christ, the words that he taught, his doctrine, his teaching, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus is the bread of life. And if we don't want to hunger spiritually, then we're going to feed upon the bread of life. In other words, we're going to accept his teaching and submit to them. We must be taught properly to obtain the knowledge of God's Word. As we go to Matthew now, chapter 28, here's the Great Commission, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them. This is before he ascended up into heaven, after his resurrection from the tomb, as God the Father brought him forth. Notice what he said to the apostles. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit that is, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Teaching and preaching are part of the Great Commission, are they not? We certainly should see that. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:15-16. Notice Colossians chapter 1. This is 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Are we doing that? Are we increasing in the knowledge of God and His will? If not, why not? What's more important than preparing for eternity? So Jesus is concerned about knowledge, and we must be concerned about the knowledge of His will, His teaching. But let's go on. Notice verses 15 now through 18 here in John 4. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saith thou truly. She spoke the truth. She didn't have a husband. In other words, she's living with a man. Now, Jesus is concerned about morality. Of course he is. He's concerned that she was living with a man who was not her husband. Today, this is very common. Excuse me. Very common. Is it not the case in our neighborhoods, in our families? How many of our loved ones are not married but are in fornication? Might as well call it what it is. And if they stay in sin, which that's what it is, they will be lost for eternity. Of course, we need to be concerned about morality as well, because Jesus certainly is. The woman of Samaria realized that she could not hide her sinful condition from the Son of God. She changed the subject rather quickly, but perhaps she really wanted to know where to worship. Verses 19 and 20. And we'll want to study that later. But note John 4:29. Again, we're jumping ahead. Come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? So she recognized Jesus as who he really is, because he could tell her all things she ever did. Now, again, the lesson for us today is Jesus is still concerned about the moral condition of the world that we live in. The faithful, the members of the Lord's church who are striving to do the will of God, we still must live in the world. Yes, but we are not to be worldly minded. That's the point, is it not? James 1:27 will help us. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, here it comes, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And you see in 1 John 2:15-17, the same three avenues of temptation Satan uses on us still today: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, as he did in the Garden of Eden with Eve, as he did with Jesus our Lord and Savior in Matthew chapter 4. Same three. We need to prepare and put on the whole armor of God and fight against the wiles of Satan and understand how he strives to get us away from the Lord and his teaching, the true church, in other words. Now, the gospel of Christ is the power to change immoral lives into sanctified members of the Lord's body. I want us to go to 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind, homosexuality, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, they were baptized into Christ, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. They were in these sins, but they got out of them when they obeyed the gospel of Christ. They were immersed into a watery grave, baptized for the remission of their sins after having, of course, believed and repented and confessed Christ. That's what we need to understand can happen today with those who are living in open sin or trying to hide it. Either way, the point is, Jesus is concerned about morality, and we must be as well. But let's go on and notice 20 through 24 here in John 4. As you see, the woman had said to Jesus, I perceive that thou art a prophet. She's later going to see that he is the Christ. But picking up with verse 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus is concerned about true worship. He revealed the truth about worship to this Samaritan woman, did he not? She knew the way of worship according to the Samaritans and was aware of the way the Jews worshiped in Jerusalem. But she was wrong, as God's plan of redemption was being worked out through the Jews and not the Samaritans. Jesus then revealed to her that true worship of God the Father was what? In spirit and in truth, which was on the verge of occurring. That's what's coming, and that's what is today. We are to worship God with a proper attitude and in accordance to the New Testament pattern. So from the beginning, only God was and is to be worshipped. Matthew 4:9-10, as you see when Satan was tempting Christ, and Jesus saith unto him, all these things will Satan was saying unto Jesus, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Deuteronomy 6:13, Jesus was referring to. So Jesus is concerned about how we worship today. Are we worshiping in a proper way? It's not up to us to decide how to do it. God has commanded us to worship him in spirit and in truth. It is not an optional matter. We must worship God with the right attitude. But we also must follow the pattern revealed to us in the New Testament, which is the law of Christ. You can have a good attitude, but not follow the pattern. That's unacceptable. You could follow the pattern exactly as God gave it and have a bad attitude, and your worship is unacceptable if we do that. It would be unacceptable. You have to have both together. Unfortunately, not all worship regularly. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many fail to attend when they're able the services that are set up by the elders of the congregation, or without elders, the men of the congregation? We must worship God in spirit and in truth and assemble ourselves together, not being like the some who were forsaking the assembly. We don't want to be of those, do we? Do we want to be of those who do not want to worship God? Do not want to study His Word? What answer do you give all of us? And again, only God is worthy to be worshipped. Revelation 22:8-9, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showeth me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou doeth it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. Let that ring in our ears. Worship God. We should desire to worship God and praise Him and want to study His Word and come together as fellow brethren, exhorting one another. Yes, encouraging one another to stay faithful no matter how bad things get in this world we live in. Now, Lord willing, next week we want to continue our study of John chapter 4 and note concerns of Christ. We've noted, of course, Christ is concerned about knowledge. Of course, He's concerned about morality. And of course, He's concerned about worship. But what about us? Are we concerned about knowledge, morality, and worship as we should be? We need to be true followers of Christ. Let's now mention, we stand ready to assist anyone. If you have not obeyed the gospel, we'll study with you, and we'll see what God would have us to do in order to become a child of His. Hear the truth. Believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Repent of our sins, make the good confession unto salvation, and then be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. He will add us, the Lord will, to His body. That's where we need to remain faithful even unto death. And we thank you so much for listening today.